Time now for the sunny side of sports. Filling in for Sunny is Peter Cloete. Hi, Peter.
Hi, yes.
I understand you'll be talking about some big-time boxing tomorrow in New York, especially Madison Square Garden.
Absolutely. It will be a big, big fight. Well, yes, IBO and WBA middleweight champion Gennady GGG Golovkin will defend his titles against tough Australian boxer and former world title holder Daniel Real Deal Gill on Saturday at the Madison Square Garden in New York. This will be Golovkin's third title defense at the Madison Square Garden. Analysts say Golovkin is on a mission not just to hold on to his titles, but also to become a major attraction in the sport. A language barrier and a lack of signature opponents have slowed Golovkin's rise in popularity with American boxing fans. Australian Gill looks to slay the beast, who has become one of the most intimidating fighters today. And Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. can now organize a market fight in Nevada all on his own. The Nevada Athletic Commission unanimously voted to grant the undefeated welterweight champion a promoter's license. Mayweather is a licensed promoter in Washington and New York. Advisors say the boxer plans to seek licenses in other states.
That's why I'm lucky for it. That's why the people call me. In Nigeria, people call me Playboy, but that was my whole name.
Yeah.
But when I travel overseas, I'm like, I'm a lucky boy.
Lucky boy in Hollywood.
Lucky boy in Australia, lucky boy in Hollywood.
Soccer World governing body FIFA said on Friday it remains committed to the 2018 World Cup in Russia and says a boycott will not be an effective way of reducing tensions in the region following the shooting down of the Malaysia airliner in Ukraine. This came after the Dutch Football Association said it wanted to postpone discussion over participation in the next World Cup until after a national day of mourning to remember the victims, two-thirds of whom were from the Netherlands. FIFA say the World Cup could be a powerful catalyst for constructive dialogue between people and government, uniting teams and nations. New Brazil coach Dunga has named Andre Lopez as his assistant manager and giving former World Cup winners Taffarel and Mauro Silva places on his backroom staff. The little-known Lopez was Dunga's assistant when he coached Internacional last year. Taffarel, who will be goalkeeping coach, played alongside Dunga when they won the World Cup in 1994, as did Mauro Silva, the former midfielder, who Dunga said would help him where and when needed. They were among the 13 new names appointed to provide backup to Dunga, who was made Brazil's national team coach on Tuesday. Moving to Nigeria and the country's football governing body, the Nigeria Football Federation, or NFF, is scheduled to hold an emergency congress by the end of the month. This comes after the federation's executive board dismissed NFF president Alhaji Aminu Maigari after he was impeached for alleged misuse of funds. Vice President Mike Ume will now step up to serve as acting president. Maigari, who only returned to his post last week after a court order restraining him from acting as NFF president was vacated in order to escape a permanent FIFA ban, was voted out by 8 of the 13-member NFF executive committee, while 5 voted in his favor. For details, I reached out to Ben Alozie, sports editor for the Union newspaper in Nigeria.
Since the impeachment of the president of Nigeria Football Federation, Alhaji Maigari, there has been an uneasy calm amongst members of the federation executives. And the July 31st Emergency Congress would ratify the impeachment of Maigari. That is basically why the Congress would hold on that day. However, there are fears that more members of the executive board may also suffer the same fate on that day, as others are scheming to ensure that those who were part of the so-called Maigari cabal would also go his way.
What led to Alhaji Maigari's impeachment?
Recall that at the FIFA World Cup in Brazil, the Super Eagles they held the federation to ransom, demanding payment of their bonuses, and that didn't go well down well with the government, and the government felt so embarrassed, and so as soon as the party was over in Brazil, the government, you know, started a process to ensure that the board was dissolved. You remember that there was a court case against the federation that precipitated the intervention of the Minister of Sports, which immediately appointed, you know, an acting Secretary General for the Nigerian Football Federation. You know, but that didn't also go down well with FIFA. And immediately FIFA announced suspension of Nigeria, demanding that the court case be withdrawn and the board be reinstated. That was done, but watchers were quite apprehensive of that action, because it was suspected that that was just a quick intervention that would really lead to the sack of the board, which, of course, has just happened. So the Congress the executive board members met and accused Mugabe of running a one-man show. That is, that he never called for board meeting for 8 months. They accused him misappropriation of funds, maladministration, and so on and so forth. So they said no, that he must be impeached. And a vote was cast, and out of the 13 members that were present, 8 voted for his impeachment, while 5 voted against. And according to the status of the matter, stated that a simple majority would guarantee such an action, and by that, he was impeached immediately.
Well, some of his supporters are saying he should be credited rather than being impeached, because he led Nigeria to win the Nations Cup after the last time Nigeria won the Cup in 1994. So what so angered Nigerians that it precipitated his downfall?
Well, the government is not looking at it from that perspective. The government felt truly really embarrassed by the action of the players. Because according to the government, enough funds was released to the federation to ensure that no such ugly incident occurred at the World Cup. That is one. There's no taking away the truth that the Mugabe board has achieved quite a lot, unprecedented in the history of Nigerian football. But be that as it may, having committed such impeachable offenses like, you know, misappropriation, alleged misappropriation, and not calling for board meetings for 8 months, it meant so much. And the fact that he was running the board alone, you know, with maybe one or two members of the 15-man board, that was a strong enough reason to impeach him. The results, our achievements notwithstanding.
How are Nigerian football fans reacting to this impeachment and the rancor in the NFF?
Well, expectedly, there has been a wide condemnation because of what a lot of people perceive as the backlash of such a, what has become a tradition. Every 4 years, maybe after every World Cup, there will be a problem in the Nigerian Football Federation whereby the leadership will be sacked. Recall that as soon after the World Cup in South Africa 2010, the San Lulu board, they were sacked, and before the election of this present board. So Nigerians are not happy that they contend that this will not augur well for the growth of the game. For instance, they said that the corporate bodies will be scared to invest in Nigerian football, and that Nigerian football needs the support of the corporate world, the corporate companies to come in. But with this becoming a frequent thing, and and there's all sorts of negative words, allegations of misappropriation, embezzlement, and so on and so forth, every time that no corporate body would be very pleased to identify with a body that is always a mess with such controversy. And that is the number one factor. Two, that it does not make for continuity, that the negative board would have been left to continue from where they stopped, because they feel that everyone feels that they have done, and they have done so much, you know, to Nigerian football, and that if they are left, just Nigerian football will be better for it.
Ben Alozie is sports editor for the Union newspaper in Nigeria. He spoke with me from the commercial capital, Lagos. And now Daybreak Africa sports editor Mark Ouma has today's sports rundown. Take it away, Mark.
We begin at the IAAF World Junior Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon State, in the United States of America. Hadja Sukal clocked 10 minutes and 31.91 seconds to set an Algeria Junior Women's 3,000-meter steeplechase national record on Thursday. On the infield, Egyptian Mohamed Magdi Hamza Khalifa qualified for the finals in men's short put when he heaved the implement to a lifetime best of 19.55 meters. Back on the track, Ghana's Emmanuel Dasor clocked a lifetime best of 20.75 seconds to win his 200-meter heat, while Nigeria's Africa Youth and Junior Champion Divine Oduduru ran 20.89 seconds to also qualify for the 200-meter semifinals. Turning to football, Egypt's Zamalek hosts the Democratic Republic of Congo's TP Mazembe in mini-league action of the Orange Africa Champions League in Cairo today, Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, Tunisian clubs CS Sfax and Esperance face off. On Sunday, the Democratic Republic of Congo's Vita face Sudan's El Hilal as Libya's El Ahli.